Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been beautiful summer weather. It's been up in the 80s. We've gotten some rain, not too terribly much, and everything is green. Vacation Bible School is going on, so you can hear through the open windows the children are being told about Noah and his ark, and outside people are mowing their lawns, going back and forth. The two poles of life experience, catastrophe and lawn mowing, and it's all of interest, you know, in a small town. Mr. Magandance, he used to mow his lawn in a plaid pattern, and now he's doing contour mowing, and he's contouring around the hills and getting around the birch trees and the bird bath and the gazing globe, which some cruel neighbor children have moved on him at night, and so he comes to mow and the contours don't go the way they ought to. Why is he doing this? Why has this changed? In a small town, you notice these things, you see. They're all of interest. You wouldn't ask, but you're curious about why. And we're thinking that it was the northern lights that were very bright here this last week on Wednesday, and green and bluish columns leaping up from the horizon, dancing and shimmering, the powerful magnetic forces, and they do change things. There are marriages that have come to an end because of the northern lights. A man or a woman leaves in the middle of the night, gets into a car, packs some suitcases, leaves, and never comes back. We know this has happened. So changing the pattern of mowing your lawn is a more benign way of absorbing the magnetic powers of the northern lights. Beautiful thing. Irene Bunsen, her tomatoes are burgeoning now. We think that after the northern lights on Wednesday, they're even fuller and they're even riper. She chooses the pride of the prairie. She breeds different species of and hybridizes these tomatoes, the pride of the prairie for sturdiness and Scarlet O'Hara for the tenderness of the flesh. And she looks at her old rival, her brother-in-law, Clarence, over on the other side of the fence. He's given up raising tomatoes this year. He says, I discovered I don't really care that much about tomatoes. Well, she said, I don't wonder that you don't. Your tomatoes were so puny and so dry, but mine are coming along, and I've got a lot of them, and when mine are ripe, I'll bring some over, and you can taste them and see what a tomato is supposed to taste like. No. All happening. There was a big tractor parade for Midsummer's Day last Sunday. 200 tractors in town, powerful tractors, two abreast coming down Main Street. They did the parade twice. They went around twice so that people who drove the first parade could let somebody else drive and they could sit down and watch the parade as it came around, because it's an awesome thing, 200 tractors. It just made the ground trembles under your feet. And then they shut them all down, and Father Wilmer stands up on a truck bed, and he does the blessing of the tractors, and he prays for a good growing season, which already we have, and he prays for peace in the world. And after he blesses them, then they all start up again, and it just shakes your rear molars. It's powerful. I can't even think of words to describe it. I tell you, if you had this tractor parade and the northern lights on the same day, Lake Wobegon would become the spiritual center of North America. People would make pilgrimages up there or something. My high spiritual moment was when I was 13 and a half years old in Lake Wobegon, and I went to the gospel meeting that Sanctified Brethren held under a tent there in the park in front of the statue of the unknown Norwegian, and Brother Tompkinson was preaching there, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and he was wanting everybody now to come to the Lord now and say, Lord, your will, not mine, be done. And mold me and make me after thine will. Make me thine, Lord. Yielded and still. This was what we were supposed to do. I sat there 13 and a half years old, and Julie Christensen was sitting next to me, and my arm was around the back of her folding chair, sitting in the second row at the gospel meeting, and people around were humming, Almost Persuaded Now to Believe. And I was just touching the back of my fingers to her hair, her long golden hair. She had never let me do that before. And she was wearing a sleeveless white blouse, and it was a little big for her. And I was just struck. I was supposed to go forward and accept the Lord, but I had my hand on the back of her chair, and I was touching her hair, and she put her right hand on my leg, and I wasn't sure if that was for caution or for encouragement. I decided encouragement. And we went out afterward, and we went to her house, and we were sitting in her backyard, and she said, would you like to wrestle? And that's what we called it, wrestling. And I did, of course. I'd been waiting all through gospel meeting for this. And we were rolling around on the ground, our arms around each other, pretending to fight. And her head was next to mine. I could feel her breath on my neck. She had me in a headlock ahead of her and a scissors hold. And we were rolling around on the grass in the dark. I knew that this was wrong. I knew it was terrible. I was supposed to go forward and accept the Lord. But instead, I was wrestling with a girl in the grass. And the brethren said that you only get one chance. And if you say no, you never have another opportunity. So there I was. I was condemned, and I would just have to live with it. So I may as well wrestle with a girl then. As long as you're going to be condemned, what's to hold back? And I went into town, went to a bookstore, and I found a book that I wanted, and I stole the book. I put it under my jacket, and I walked out with it as cool as I could. And I got just outside the door, and there was a hand on my shoulder. And the clerk said, I believe you forgot something. And I turned, and there she was holding my lunch in a bag, my lunch with an egg salad sandwich and a peanut butter cookie. And I took it, and I took the book home. It was called The Poor Man's Almanac, and it had a lot of stuff in there, like my family was so poor that my dad would eat Cheerios with a fork so he could pass the milk down to the next person at the table. Little stories like that. The man walked into the cafe with a handful of dog turds and said, look what I almost stepped in. The man walked into the cafe and said, I'd like coffee, no cream. And the waitress said, we're out of cream. How about coffee with no milk? Having been condemned, I turned to humor and to comedy, but felt guilty about it, of course, and I still feel guilt about it. I went into the woods, deep in the woods in Lake Wobegon, and there was a sign in the woods, far nailed to a birch tree, that said, repent, God saw what you did. So evidently people went to that part of the woods to do that. I've never been back to that part of the woods, but I've thought about it, and Scripture says that's the same thing. So I feel guilty about it. But you walk around town after the northern lights have dazzled us all, And you see that this entanglement, the girl, the boy wrestling in the grass, loving being tangled up with each other, is the basis of everything. It's the basis of all of these houses, these streets, these churches, even the preacher holding the Bible up. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, but we were supposed to. What would we have been like if we had not? These streets and everything, and the children playing down at the beach, barefoot there in the sand, with no toys except a shovel and a pail, and they're making a castle, molding it with water from the lake, wetting the sand, a castle with towers, and they have one red ball, and they put it up on the top of one of the towers, and the children lying there in the dirt are looking at this castle, and they are laughing, they're laughing, they're laughing, because whether they know it or not, there is a couple inside that sand castle, and they are entangled, they are deeply entangled. They couldn't live without it. They're enjoying every single minute of it. What a good life. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.